the annual Christmas cheer breakfast. But Katie, that doesn't mean you get away with trending. You still got to do it.
Oh, that's okay. I'm kind of excited. I was trying to find something that was going to be Christmas cheery and to fit along with that theme.
Oh my God, I forgot how much you love Christmas.
I do.
This is going to be terrible.
I know. But sadly,
you're going to be all smiles and you're going to be sitting over there on Santa's knee.
I brought you reindeer ears if you want them.
Yeah, there's a small chance I'll wear those. Also, you have a growing fan club, I've noticed. So
nice.
Did you bring a pen for autographs?
I did, and T-shirts with my face on them. So anybody need them, let me know.
She's been here a couple of months already. People are coming to see her. 6 years I give my life to this job. 6 years I give. So what's trending?
So actually what I have trending today is not Christmas related at all. It's Jenna Ortega. Now, I don't know if you remember, but I brought it up for my Bill's Best Binges a little while ago on Monday, where I was talking about Wednesday, the new Netflix series. She stars as Wednesday in the Netflix series Wednesday.
And I've seen the promos for that series since.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Is Tim Burton?
Yes, it is.
Well, that sort of makes you want to watch.
It is very, very good. I'm not fully through it all the way, so I'll be completely honest there. But people are loving Jenna Ortega. They're trying to find everything about her. We're finding new information. And one of the number one things that is the coolest thing I think about her is that she's taken this role super seriously. And she not only is taking it seriously that she's doing the role justice, she doesn't blink at all throughout the entirety of all of the scenes she shot. And this is her explaining on why she does that, why she has that reasoning. Here's clip one.
I think I got kind of annoying about it on set, to be honest, because I would have to restart a take if I started, because sometimes you start crying.
Yeah, totally.
It was Romanian winter. There was all this wind in my face. I learned to blink on other people's lines.
I hear it.
Oh, I don't hear a clip.
There we go. That was just a clip of her kind of explaining.
For me, it wasn't.
Yeah. Fair.
I heard nothing. I got dead air.
Do you want me to play it again there?
I'd like to hear it, but yeah, I don't think, if it didn't work first time, I think it's going to work the second time. But that's a problem we'll have to sort out before the show starts here. Play the clip again, PJ. I want to see if I can hear it.
I think I got kind of annoying about it on set, to be honest, because I would have to restart
I'm not getting anything.
All right, I'll sort that out there.
So what did she say?
She's saying that she didn't blink throughout the entirety of the scenes that she shot because she wanted to take it super seriously, and it was something that Tim Burton would have wanted for the role, wanted her to portray in the role. And so she was learning to practice to not even blink at all through any of the scenes, so they had to do super many cuts repeatedly over and over again. And I thought it's just really interesting. People are loving her. She is blowing up more and more every day.
Well, I'm glad you brought that clip. That was really great.
I know, right?
I really enjoyed not hearing it the second time, especially. really brought it home. Okay, so what does a Friday show look like when we're doing the annual Christmas cheer breakfast? We're still going to have Richard Krause.
Got some movies.
Yeah. Any good ones?
I'm really excited for Bones and All. It's a romantic horror film, I think, from the little clip that I saw of it. Looks good.
What is that, a romantic
horror? I don't know if you saw Don't Worry, Darling or anything like that.
What is this, like the story of my love life? Before I met the wonderful Sylvie.
Sylvie,
of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Up until then, it was pretty much a romantic horror story. Yeah. Okay, I've never heard of a romantic horror story.
I'm excited for it.
Bones and All. I don't know. These kind of looked not that great this week. But I thought the same thing last week, and then he convinced me there were a couple of pretty good ones. So.
Yeah.
All right, 8:56. We'll take a little break here, try to sort out our technical problems, and then we'll come back and launch the 6 o'clock news coming up next, The Morning Rush.
Wake up in the morning with News Talk. This is The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. Share your opinion now. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from. Standard text rates may apply.
Here are words I haven't said in a long time. Live on location, The Morning Rush at the Shaw Center for the annual Christmas cheer breakfast. I know we were technically here last year, but I was sick, so I was just a talking head on an iPad at this table, broadcasting from home. But today I'm actually here, and they're just starting to get ready. Don't smell any food yet. We're not at the smell of food. We're not at the bacon wafting out the door stage yet, but we're at a woman is moving a Christmas tree around near Santa's throne, getting ready for photos to be taken. There's a guy putting up speakers that are pointed right at me, and I realize they're now going to be very noisy and disrupting to the broadcast. And so we're at that stage where people are just starting to slowly come in, people who work here. Probably that guy there, I'm saying, see the guy with the briefcase and the jacket on? He's one of the organizers. He's coming. He's got a meeting probably at 6:30 this morning with staff, some last-minute reminders about how to set up the tables and all that. You know, it's that early buzz that'll build throughout the morning. Didn't our boss say he'd be here for the start of the show? Yeah. Oh, I'll be there in the morning.
Ready to go.
Ready to go. Yeah, excited. Here we are, 6:07. No boss.
No Peter.
I have a theory about where Peter Angioni, our boss, is this morning. I have a theory. He's golfing with Jim Watson in the Caribbean somewhere.
He's high-tailed.
Steve Catalakos is there. He's cooking up breakfast for them. They're having a good time. That's maybe where Premier Doug Ford thinks they are. He's accused the former mayor and city manager of running away from the city's problems with light rail transit. He was asked about the inquiry into Stage 1, which we talked at length about it. I don't want to go back over that bleep show that we talked about yesterday, but he was asked about it. And he said, you know, well, the report said the city, Rideau Transit Group, they all lost sight of public interest.
Mayor Watson, I'm being very frank here. He wasn't transparent. He didn't oversee the project properly. And he's gone, and so is the city manager and some other people that worked on it, you know, hightailed out of there because they knew it was a disaster.
Hightailed out of there. A great expression. What else did he say about that? Play a little more.
We saw Mayor Watson not being transparent with his councilors. We saw the city manager having to step down. It was just absolute in shambles and you know, stunk to high heaven, and we wanted to dig deeper, and we did, and it's come out now.
Well, Katie, I'm glad you found that soundbite. That was my favorite quote of the day yesterday. It stunk to high heaven. I haven't heard that expression in a long time. My mom used to use that one. Not my dad. That was my mother one. This bloody thing stinks to high heaven. High heaven, I'm telling you. Rotten to the core. Stinks to high heaven. I had to explain to my kids what that was. What does that mean? Because I was saying, yeah, that's a funny quote, huh? From, kind of nailed it. The LRT, the whole thing stinks to high heaven. What does that mean? Well, I know what it means generally, but where does it come from? I don't know. I assumed it meant, you know, the smell of the rot is so bad, you can smell it all the way up in the highest parts of heaven.
Pile of crap smelling so
high.
The
wafting poop smile is making its way, not just to heaven, but all the way up to the highest part of heaven. The very highest part, right up there with God. Like serious high heaven. So it's weird. I can still sort of hear it in the background. Do you hear that? You hear Doug Ford talking in the background?
Yeah, it was
playing some clips. Sorry.
Through the FaceTime here, I'm up and lowering the volume here.
Oh, so were you playing that so I could hear it?
No, I was playing it just to use just for a drop later.
Okay, so it's still not working.
Yeah,
I could hear it, like it was 20 miles. I could hear it like it was on Earth and I was in high heaven.
No, I was playing it in my studio, and
it's
you were hearing it through the FaceTime.
Oh,
so it wasn't
I see.
On air. But I was trying to get it ready so that if you ever wanted
I
no, no,
to high heaven.
There you go. That's what I thought you were doing.
Yeah, I was getting
okay,
it ready
so
for you.
Okay, so here's the thing. You guys are FaceTime amateurs.
Totally.
Well, Katie's not so bad because she and I FaceTime all morning. PJ's not always on. That mute button is you unmute to talk, you mute to talk again. And then we got it. Matt and I had this down to an art, and then we upgraded our operating system. And they remember this a year or so ago? They reversed the default.
Yes.
So I kept muting it, and it would unmute because they reversed what it was.
The color scheme, yeah.
The color, yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness, it threw me for a loop for a while, too.
Because now I think it's white when it's muted and dark when it's not muted. It used to be the opposite. You can't change that.
Nope.
Years of habit. Well, the Prime Minister... There's that annoying PA system I told you was going to be a pain. The Prime Minister has officially launched the government's child dental benefit. That's right. Inflation is now over. Because remember, he said, you know, when asked about his plans for inflation, well, we're bringing in the dental plan. So you're going to go to the grocery store today and everything's going to be cheaper because the government has officially launched the child dental benefit. Under the plan, if you're earning less than $90,000 a year, you can claim between $260 and $650 per child under the age of 12. The Prime Minister says one-third of Canadians don't have dental insurance.
And for those who don't have insurance, it often is simply not possible or means making really, really difficult choices and trade-offs on what you can afford for your kids. Many children in low-income households are not getting the dental care they need, but as parents, we recognize that dental care is an essential part of children's health and well-being.
He recognizes. He put his emotional tone on that, so that's important. Government and opposition sparred on housing prices, which don't worry, are going to go down because now we have the government dental plan on the table. But so I don't know why Pierre Poilievre's still going on and on about these things, because problem solved. We're going to have dental for one-third of Canadians, children under 12. Anyway, they're back and forth on the issue of housing prices. And Pierre Poilievre, the Conservative leader, says people are spending an increasing share of their income on housing right now.
It takes now 27 years for the average person to save up for the down payment on that home. How is it possible that the average Canadian cannot afford the average home here in the nation with the second biggest supply of land anywhere on earth?
Yeah, try living in the GTA, the nation's capital. Yeah, it's bad enough, but you could just do what those two poor people are doing, living in the Shaw Center garage. You know, I bet even there you need a down payment of about 50 grand, at least on the shopping cart. Those poor people, there are people living. I can't believe that. I was pretty shocked to see that. All right, so it is 6:14. We're live on location at the Shaw Center, and it's the annual Christmas cheer breakfast. And I can tell you, if you're heading down here, we're not in the Aberdeen Pavilion this year. Remember that year they sort of in between, they lost the Shaw Center, and they had to, oh, man, it was minus 25 degrees indoors and about minus 20 outdoors. But it's nice and cozy and warm here. And hope you're coming down to join us for dinner and for breakfast, rather. And we're going to kick off the Christmas season. Stop smirking, Katie. Woo-hoo. Stop it. You and your Christmas. I thought you were going to wear a Santa outfit or something.
No, I don't wear like
a teddy bear dress.
It's gingerbread men, yeah, with little candy canes.
Oh, is that what
canes.
It is?
Yeah, you can see.
I didn't want to stare.
Yeah, fair enough.
Didn't want to stare at your candy canes. It's not appropriate this early in the morning, but that's very cute.
Thanks. And I got reindeer ears.
You're a lot taller than you seem on FaceTime.
I am wearing heels, but I am 5'10 and a half.
You're
so
a tall,
I got some height.
You're a
yeah.
tall a woman, for yeah. sure. Yep. 6:15. We don't really get to work together very much.
Yeah.
So what is this, our third in-person meeting, maybe?
Yeah. No, fourth, maybe.
Fourth?
Yeah.
Wow, it's very strange to work with someone every day and not see them.
Yep.
6:15, the morning rush. Wave. If I have headphones on and my lips are moving, that means I'm on the air. So, and I won't be able to hear you if you come up and try to talk to me. But so I'm not being rude, and I'll try to give you a smile and a wave. But it would be nice if you come by and say hello. That's kind of the point of us being here. So it's great. We're launching the Christmas season, and Katie Colbert is just beside herself with all this Christmas cheer around. Christmas trees and Christmas gifts wrapped. Look at this. Oh.
There's lights and sparkles. It's amazing.
For a Grinch like me. Plus, I'm in a lousy mood watching the soccer game yesterday. You know, I told myself I wouldn't even tune it in because even if they won, they weren't going through to the next round of the World Cup. It was already over for them. And they were playing Morocco, so I knew it was going to be kind of a tough sell. But did the FM people just go to the coffee shop and not ask us? Is that what just happened? Did they go buy coffees? It didn't say, would you guys like a coffee? Is that seriously what I'm seeing there? Man, Move is dead to me now. I'm taking it off the presets in my car. I'm never listening to them again. I'm done with them. Unbelievable.
You know what, though? I think you're
coffee's coming. Why didn't you go? They've got like Santa's little helpers with little costumes on. Where's your little costume?
Yeah, I've got a pastel red sweater on. That's pretty good, right?
Oh. Pastel red sweater is not going to do it.
No.
I want a full Santa elf costume. That's unbelievable. Look, they brought food. No, thank you. We're good. Serious, don't. Now she's going to eat it in front of us. Wow. All right, so anyway, I got bummed out yesterday watching the Canadian soccer team lose. And they did score a goal, though. But Canada's coach, John Herdman, sees some positives in the return to the soccer showcase after 36 years in absence.
It's been the first time in a long time we've been here. We'd like to have been here longer, that's for sure. But we've enjoyed the ride. I mean, I think our players have turned up here to compete. I think we've showed that we've been fearless across each of the three games. And in each of the three games, I think we've had something to celebrate.
2-1 was the final score. So Canada scored its first goal at the men's tournament ever. And then yesterday got a goal as well. Bunda's here with me today. Between you and Katie, maybe you can help me figure this out. Do they give credit to the Canadian who scored the goal? I find it weird. All I heard yesterday afternoon in the reporting was it was an own goal, and then they attribute it to the Moroccan player whose leg it hit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why don't they give credit to the player? It's still a goal. It still counts.
Yeah.
Like, they never do that in hockey. If somebody takes a shot and it hits somebody's leg and goes in, they might say it was deflected or whatever, but they would just say, hey, this guy, Bunda scored in the second period, right?
Yeah.
They just call it an own goal.
It's their way of being fancy, I guess, in soccer, right? They're not trying to give any extra credit to someone that really didn't do much, even though, so that's why they specify the own goal. And that's, I'm not the biggest soccer fan, but I know enough. It's like, you could just put, like you said, said player's name, scored that goal. But
yeah, because no one's talking now that Canada scored two goals at the World Cup. We scored one goal and there was an own goal. But the guy kicked the ball, happened to hit somebody's leg, and go past the goalie. So that's still a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Still get credit for that. The guy still had to run down the field, dodge a couple of players, kick the ball towards the net. Pretty good as far as I'm concerned. I think that's weird they do that, don't you?
No, absolutely. I think give credit where credit is due, you know. A mistake is still a goal if it's a goal, you know.
But when I was a kid, they never even mentioned who passed the ball to the goal scorer. Now they at least talk about that.
The assist.
Yeah. In hockey, an assist and a goal, same thing. You get 1 point.
You get two assists in hockey, too. Only one
and
in
you
soccer.
Get a secondary. That one I wondered about.
Yeah.
Secondary assist. Sometimes the guy's already on the bench by the time the goal's scored. 6:30, it's the Morning Rush, live on location at the Shaw Center for the annual Christmas Cheer Breakfast. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Excellent. Could not possibly be better.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I am completely exaggerating now because we're on location
for
the annual Christmas Cheer Breakfast, so I'm trying to appear both Christmassy and cheerful, which for me is a very tall order.
When I think of Bill Carroll, I think of Santa Claus and
don't
good
you?
Thoughts and cheer.
That's exactly my point. Well, listen, Mr. Movie Guy, you're not exactly going to cheer us up with some of these movies. Let's start with a dark comedy about the end of the world, no less. It's called White Noise.
They're calling it the airborne toxic event.
We won't come this way.
Will we have to leave our home?
Of course not.
How do you know?
I just know.
Okay, what if it's dangerous?
Evacuate all places of residence.
All we have to do is stay out of the way.
Therapists, the children are here. They need us.
Of some persistent sense of large-scale ruin, we keep inventing hope.
Well, happy December, everybody. This is a movie kind of about an airborne toxic event that happens in a small town. It's the 1980s. You've got a blended family led by Adam Driver and Greta Gerwig. He's a college professor. She has some secrets that she's trying to keep from her husband. But on the surface, in the first of the movie's three parts, it really looks like they're a big, happy family. It's shot kind of like a sitcom. It almost looks like it came from 1980s television in a really interesting and kind of fun way. And then in the second part, there's a train accident. a black cloud, literally a black cloud, arises from one of the tankers that's overturned and creates this black toxic cloud that takes over their area. They have to evacuate. And as they evacuate, cracks start to show in their family dynamic. And then in the third part of the film, they try and resolve some of the loose threads that were left from the first and second part, and then wrap it up with a kind of tidy bow. Except that while there is so much to like about White Noise, which is on Netflix, or it's in theaters right now, will be on Netflix in a few weeks, there is so much to like about it because Adam Driver and Greta Gerwig were born to recite this dialogue. They are getting laughs out of stuff that I'm sure if you read it on the page would not be amusing in the least, but it, the way that they say it, the heart that they bring to their characters makes this funnier than it might have seemed if you had just read it. I think that the look of the film was quite beautiful, but these three sections to me felt like three short films that had the same cast and the same characters, but they were kind of not exactly unrelated, but they didn't hold together as a whole. And I really wanted that from this story. I think there's interesting stuff there, but for me, it just didn't work. As we got closer to the end credits, I found my attention drifting.
Now, Adam Driver is the actor who played, how do I describe him? Darth Vader just before he was Darth Vader?
Yeah.
So and, is that Anakin? Look,
he's a very good actor.
I've seen him in a couple of other things, because in Star Wars, you know, it's all about the epic surroundings. Yeah. And the, you know, so it's, you don't really necessarily get to see somebody's acting chops. But I've seen him a couple of times since. He's really good, really compelling guy.
I saw him on Broadway do a show called Burn This.
Oh, yeah.
And so he is not in the first half an hour of the play or so. And then there's a knock at the door, and Adam Driver bursts into the room. And he has, I think, and if my memory is serving me correctly, a 20-minute-long monologue that just blew me back in my seat. It was so powerful. So funny, scary, sad, all at once. This guy has it. He's a great actor. This movie shows what a good actor he is, because I think there's not a lot of other actors I would have stuck with this entire story with.
And you know, a quick story maybe you can relate to, but we go to movies, we say, oh, he's a great actor, not a great actor, and a lot of it might depend on the character and how we're into it. Well, what do we know about acting, right? I went to see a play in Toronto years ago, and it was pretty good. It was about a drug addict, and he was a real jerk, but everybody kind of really still loved him. And when the play was over, I thought, why did all of these people do things for him? He was just a jerk from start to finish. Right. The whole story didn't hang together, and I thought, what a terrible writer. Like, this play's awful. Flash forward, not even a month later, I was in London doing something else, and I happened to see the same play is in London, but John Malkovich plays the role.
Oh, yeah.
So I go in now, and I watch the same play, and I come out thinking, I get it now. I would have done anything for that guy. I know he was troubled, but you know what? His heart, he was really nice. There was some, and the difference was the acting.
Absolutely.
That, right? It's just how that, and every little subtle choice they make about to smile or not smile or the inflections in their words. I don't know how they do it, but you really see when two, and the other guy seemed fine. I just thought, I don't like him. I don't like the character, but it was the difference in acting.
Yeah, we saw, I mean, we're burning time here, but we saw Cabaret on Broadway with Alan Cumming, and it was an absolutely magical experience. Liked it so much. We saw it once. I came home, talked about how much I loved it so much that we flew back about 2 weeks later to go see it again. And then we took 6 or 8 months off and then went back and saw it again. And, you know, it was just transcendent theater, one of the best live performances I've ever seen. And then cut to, you know, a couple of years later, there was a touring production of it coming through Toronto, and this is not to denigrate anyone involved in that, but it just simply was not the same, because that spark and that magic that came from that performance of Alan Cumming just simply wasn't there. And it was like watching a completely different show, and I would not have flown back to New York over and over again to see the production, the touring production. But you put the right people in the right places and you get magic.
Alan Cumming is a great Scottish actor, best known probably from The Good Wife, where he played like the spin doctor, lawyer.
And the X-Men and lots of things.
And X-Men, okay, The Inspection in theaters now.
Real question is, why do you want to be here?
I want to be a Marine.
That's not good enough.
To be a good Marine means to know thyself and seek self-improvement.
If I die in this uniform, I'm a hero to somebody.
Boot camp is supposed to break you down.
Want to go home?
If we leave, they win.
Why is this weapon your best friend, recruit?
This is The Inspection. It's in theaters right now, and this is based on the true story of the director's life. The director's name is Elegance Bratton. He is a queer black man who was, at the time that the movie starts, he was homeless. He had been rejected by his mother, who in the film is played by the great Gabrielle Union, and he saw no future for himself. He did not know that he was going to wake up tomorrow safely because the shelter system was failing and things were not going well. So he joined the Marines, and he went through severe hazing. He was beaten and bullied and, you know, just had a terrible rough go of it at boot camp, but found an inner strength and ended up being a Marine for 10 years. And now he is a successful film director with this new movie. In theaters. And the movie really holds up. This is not Full Metal Jacket or An Officer and a Gentleman, any other kind of military drama that you've seen before that involves boot camp. This is a very introspective story about what this very specific character went through. But like so many stories, when they are so very specific about a queer black man who joins the Marines in this case, the story becomes kind of universal, and it becomes about an underdog who is just trying to improve his life against all odds and making choices that will actually enable him to have a future. And I think it's a story that, as I say, even though very specific, a lot of people will be able to relate to. It's capped off by a tremendous performance by an actor I'd never seen before, a guy called Jeremy Pope in the lead role, and it's really a really very good movie that'll, you know, give you something to think about over a coffee afterwards.
I was going to be cynical there. What is he, Spielberg? Who cares about his life, the director's life? And then you, gay, black, homeless. Okay, he's got a lot of things to talk about there.
Yeah, well, he'll be on my radio show next week, which I think is on at 8 o'clock on CFRA on Saturday nights. His name is Elegance Bratton, and I defy you to listen to this interview and not be just inspired.
It's like I said, I was ready to be sitting on that. There's a fascinating start to life.
Yeah.
And now he's directed a movie that Richard Krause is talking about on the radio. Bones and All, also in theaters.
I know it's not your fault. You were born this way. You ate them. I believed you had to. I don't know why.
I smelt you. I didn't know I could do that. I thought I was the only one. I don't want to hurt anybody.
Famous last words.
Too much.
We gotta do this. We have to do it.
You've been following me.
And we got unfinished business.
You don't think I'm a bad person.
So this is called Bones and All. It is in theaters right now. Stars Timothy Chalamet and Taylor Russell as a young couple. They get together. They go on a road trip, and it's a road trip of self-discovery. The thing about this movie is that they are both cannibals. And they have found one another through this thing that apparently, and I'd never heard this before in any of the fiction I've seen or read about cannibals, that they can smell one another, and that's how they find one another. And so this terribly dreamy kind of romantic film has these moments of feeding, which are not so pleasant, but this is not a horror film, really. There's not that much scary stuff that actually happens, but it's actually about using cannibalism as a metaphor for anyone who feels like an outsider, who feels like the other, who feels like they don't belong. And again, I guess that's what I was saying about the inspection, is that the more specific the story, the more universal it can possibly be. This one stretches that theory a little bit, but you've got a movie that has a great look to it. It's kind of languid. It takes a long time to get where it's going. So I think what I wrote here was, come for the cannibals, but stay for the languid, passionate look at life on life's fringes.
Quite a sales pitch. Come for the cannibals. I've never been a cannibal, so this concept of cannibals can smell each other may be true, but I don't buy it, and I'll tell you why. You ever eat garlic and the person you live with doesn't? They can smell you. You got to sleep on the couch. Right. If you both eat the same thing, though, you both eat the garlic, you don't notice. Therefore, if you're both cannibals, you wouldn't smell each other at all. That's my theory.
Well, you know what? I'll buy into it as much as I'll buy into the theory that they can smell one another.
Yeah, I hope never to prove that theory. Thank you, Richard. Have a good weekend.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
Our movie guy, Richard Krause. The Morning Rush, Bill Carroll. Good morning, Doc.
Morning, Bill.
Sorry, just give me a second. I'm sipping on my green tea extract. My goodness. You know, it's an antitoxin and an antioxidant.
Antioxidant.
It's anti a lot of stuff. This is so good for you, green tea extract. I don't know why you're not drinking it more. Wait. This headline says it could harm liver and people with a certain genetic variation.
How do I know if I have this
genetic variation?
You don't, and there's no real test that you could do that. So you have to be careful to stay to consume it that in low doses. And so it's found. This is called. The long version of this compound is called epigallocatechin, or EGCG. Let's just call it the stuff that's in the green tea. And it is considered to be an antioxidant. What's an antioxidant? Think of when you put hydrogen peroxide on your skin after a cut. You know how it fizzes up when you put it on the wound? Well, hydrogen peroxide is simply H2O2, two hydrogens, two oxygens, very unstable. So it loses an oxygen, becomes water. But that oxygen that comes off is very reactive. It likes to bind to the cells of your body, or at least the cells on the surface, the bacteria that's on the surface, and it explodes the cell membranes. So it will explode the bacterial membranes, destroying them. So that's what a free radical is. That's essentially how you would think about it. It's like taking bullets and shooting it into the wall. It pokes holes in the wall.
It's not that guy at university who went to every protest. It's not that kind of radical.
Exactly. And so the EGCG, which is found in green tea, it's also found in black tea, oolong tea, cranberries, strawberries, blueberries, kiwis, cherries, peaches, apples. It's found in food. It's normal, right? But it's very low doses. And what it does is it will grab that oxygen and prevent it from poking holes in the cells. And so it's assumed that when you consume this, and therefore if you consume it in greater quantities, it will help prevent damage to your cells, reduce the risk of cancer, heart disease, yada, yada, yada. All that.
That's what people tell me. They don't know why I'm not drinking more green tea extract.
Yeah. Except this particular study looked at 1,000 women, and they were followed every 3 months for a year. And they were given a supplement of 843 milligrams of this. Now, how is that compared to when you're having regular tea? Well, regular tea has 50 to 100 milligrams. So this was anywhere between 8 to 16 times more of this particular antioxidant, the epigallocatechin. And they then looked at a particular enzyme level in the liver. And this enzyme, and what an enzyme is think about when you are, say you have a potato in front of you, and then you chop up the potato or you mash it. The process of changing the potato from being a potato to mashing it is what an enzyme would do in terms of function. It changes one thing into another so that it can be used differently and used in a way that's more productive. So enzymes in the liver are in the cells of the liver, and they're able to measure various enzymes in there that would be helpful in breaking down this particular compound or or not being able to break it down as well. And they found two types. The names of them are not important. They're long names. No one's going to remember them. But they found that one group of people that had one type of this enzyme were not able to break down this green tea extract as well, and it caused more liver damage. And they were able to tell whether the liver was damaged, because when the liver gets damaged, the cells get destroyed. Inside the cells are different compounds. One of them is called ALT. It's just another enzyme. And when that ALT level goes up, it tells you something is happening to the liver. And they found that when they did this, they found that there was almost a doubling of damage to the liver compared to, with this enzyme, compared to other people who had a different enzyme that broke things down. The problem is you don't know which one you have. So if you're taking supplements and you're taking a lot of this stuff, they're concerned that you may be causing damage to the liver over the long term. And this is only taken for a year, and people take supplements for longer than that. So if you're drinking green tea, no big deal. If you're taking extracts, you're getting probably way too much than what you need. It's dubious in terms of what it does for your health anyway, taking more of it. So the bottom line is, caveat emptor, be careful what you buy, be careful what you consume, because it may not be doing the benefit or providing you the benefit that you think it is.
But it's natural, Doc. How can something natural be bad for you?
Sure. Well, plants, remember, can't run away from their prey. So they either will produce compounds that'll kill you, or they'll produce compounds that'll attract animals to them so they can propagate. So natural means absolutely nothing.
Oh, my God. I'm putting down my poison ivy extract tea now. Thanks a lot, Doc.
No problem, Bill.
The Morning Rush. Dr. Barry Dworkin, Medical Myth-Busting. Sunday House Call, Sunday afternoons at 3 on News Talk 580 CFRA.
This is The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. Share your opinion now. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from. Standard text rates may apply.
We're on location at the Shaw Center, the annual Christmas cheer breakfast about to get underway. People are just kind of schmoozing out in the lobby here, waiting to be called in. And I still don't smell the bacon. It's not arrived yet. I just got to meet the new mayor, Mark Sutcliffe, who actually was a pretty friendly greeting. He did try to steal the chair back and go back on the air, but I managed to wrestle that away from him. How long do you think it was before I asked him about the vacancy tax and the fact that you actually have to go online and attest to the fact that you live in your own home, or they will automatically increase your property tax by 1%? Automatically. If you don't, you know how many people have asked me about this? No, Bill, you got to be wrong. Like, you're telling me that my tax will go up an extra 1% if I don't go online and swear that I don't live in my home? Yes, that's the rule in Ottawa right now. So I told the mayor I want to talk to him about that, and then he got busy and took off. But he said he'll eventually come on the show and discuss it. I am not letting it go. That'll be my Christmas gift to you to fix that. It's just ridiculous. Ray Townsend is here from Lockheed Martin, and he is one of the many supporters of Christmas Cheer Breakfast. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Bill.
You
Thanks for having me.
Great lapel pin.
Oh, thanks. This is the C-130J. It's one of the products that we have Lockheed Martin, and we've sold it to Canada. They have 17 of them in Canada in the Canadian Air Force.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So what is it, a personnel carrier, cargo plane?
Yeah, it's a cargo plane. Yeah, very highly used in the Air Force in Canada. So anything from domestic operations, refueling for all of the activities up north in alert, to deployed operations over to the Ukraine and in the Middle East, it's quite busy, a very versatile aircraft.
Well, I love airplanes, so yeah. I'll give you my home address so you can send one of those great Lockheed Martin pins along.
Sounds great. You just tell me where it is. I've got a form online. You fill it out. I'll charge you an extra 1%, and I'll deliver the airplane.
No, you should send it to me if I don't go on.
If you don't, there you go.
And then just charge me. Just okay. Send it to me. I got to start a business like that.
All right.
Right? I'm going to manufacture a product, and I'm going to send it to every home in Ottawa. And if you don't send it back, I'm just going to bill you.
You might be onto something there, Bill. Yeah.
I think that's a great. Don't you wish you could just do that with airplanes?
Make it easier.
We'll build 20. We'll send them to the U.S. military, and then they could send us a check. We'll bill them anyway. Take the plane. Don't take the plane. We don't mind. How'd you guys get involved in Christmas cheer?
Well, we're as a company, we like to be pretty involved in the community. So we have about almost 400 people that work here in the Ottawa area. We have a plant out in Kanata, another one in Little Italy with an office space, and another one downtown. So one of our key tenets for contributions to the community is events like this. You know, wherever we can contribute to those that might need a little bit of a smile, especially during the holidays, we like to contribute to community events, veteran events, a lot of STEM type of activities. But this is one, it's just so much fun. It's a lot of fun to be part of. It's easy for us to participate through funding and the odd service activity that we do here. And so we've been doing it for a number of years now, and I can't see us stopping in the near future.
Do members of your staff fight over who gets to actually come to the breakfast?
Well, it's I think it's not too much of a fight when it's an early morning like this. It sort of weeds a couple
true.
Of people out. So that's good, but there is a lot of interest, that's for sure. So we've got a couple of tables here, and it's nice to visit with your colleagues as well over some bacon and eggs in the morning.
Yeah, especially something feels a little bit, and I don't want to underplay what's happening in our pediatric hospitals or anything like that. I know that things are not totally back to normal, but there's a kind of a feeling this Christmas that, you know, with vaccinations widely available and many people already having had COVID, and there's just a feeling of the world is coming back, right, to what it was before the lockdowns. That's nice to be out.
I think you're right. And, you know, events like this, that highlights it, I think. You know, we're back to normal. We're doing some of these breakfast type of events. You can gather in public with, you know, without as much, you know, trepidation for, you know, what might happen if you're too close to somebody. So I think it is nice to get back to normal.
Well, enjoy your breakfast. And just for the record, when people start their broadcasts at 5 a.m., don't complain about how early 7:30 is.
Fair point. Fair
this
point.
Is not early. This so, is lunchtime.
For sounds us. Good. Well, I appreciate you having us on the show here, and thanks very much for
nice
all your time.
Nice to meet you, Ray.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Bill.
Ray Townsend from Lockheed Martin. I didn't know you had that many employees in the Ottawa area.
Yeah, about 1,400 across Canada, about 400 in Ottawa.
You know, we just, as long as I've lived here, we still kind of think it's a government town, and it is. But there are many other things. People do all kinds of different jobs, and we have a lot of interesting industries here.
That's right.
Including people who make airplanes.
That's it. Yep.
Somebody had to make that lapel pin as well, but that's okay. I'm done begging now. 7:30, the Morning Rush, on location at the Shaw Center for the annual Christmas Cheer Breakfast. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. It's the annual Christmas Cheer Breakfast, and we are live on location at the Shaw Center, and the place is really starting to fill up now. The big social event on the Ottawa Christmas calendar has arrived. And our Prime Minister, he's not here personally, but he did offer gifts. Dental plans for everyone. Well, not everyone. That's only for healthcare. Healthcare is universal. Dental care, we're wading into the shallow end. Except, I don't know, it seems fairly deep, the end they're in. Families earning less than $90,000 a year can claim between $260 and $650 per child under the age of 12. And according to our Prime Minister, that's about a third of Canadians who don't have dental health insurance.
And for those who don't have insurance, it often is simply not possible or means making really, really difficult choices and trade-offs on what you can afford for your kids. Many children in low-income households are not getting the dental care they need, but as parents, we recognize that dental care is an essential part of children's health and well-being.
Put a pin in that comment there. Write that down, Katie. Low-income Canadians. Just put a note there. Remind me to say, I don't want to interrupt the Prime Minister, but put that down so I don't forget to talk about it later. So yesterday, the Prime Minister also said, he put it in real numbers. So, you know, it's about a third of Canadians don't have dental insurance. How many will actually be impacted by this? According to his numbers, it's about 500,000 Canadian kids.
Tax-free payments that will be made directly to parents. And the Canada Revenue Agency website is open today for applications. This is an important step in the right direction to make sure Canadian children get the dental care they need.
He was at Western University's School of Dentistry in London, Ontario. He said oral health is an intrinsic part of overall health.
There are 500,000 kids in this country who don't have access to dental care. And that means parents either don't send their kids to the dentist or have to make impossible choices about what not to buy for their kids if they're going to send them to the dentist.
Okay, so Let's talk about this anti-inflationary plan of the Prime Minister's, because that's what he told us every time someone complains about inflation in the House of Commons. He was standing up saying, well, we're bringing in dentistry. Okay, so what does this really mean? There's so many things about this that just don't add up to me. I want you to know that I grew up in a household where my father most often in most of his job did not have a dental plan. So I know what it is like to suffer dental pain, to have a cavity and not be able to afford to fix it. In fact, I had a number of teeth removed when I was young that could have been saved, but it was cheaper to remove them, and I got the bridges now to prove it. So this is not coming from a guy, listen, I do well now, I have a nice house, nice car, dental plan, my kids' teeth, even had, we could even put braces, we could afford to do all of that. So, but believe me, I know where he's coming from here. No kid should suffer dental pain. This is terrible. But either do it or do not do it. You know, there's a headline I saw this morning. I think it was on CTV's webpage. Ottawa Valley dentists approve and applaud the new dental plan. But when you dig into the details of dentistry, at Armprior, the owner said just 5 to 7% of his clients are children 12 and under. So maybe that's significant to you. Maybe it's not. But I told you, Katie, to put a pin on this idea of low-income Canadians. If you're earning less than $90,000, you can claim some money for a child. $90,000. Now, do you consider that low income? $90,000. I'm a single dad with a five-year-old who has a cavity, and I make $89,000 a year. Do you think that everybody else in the country, including people making $40,000 a year, their tax money should be used to help the guy who's making $89,000 a year fill a cavity for his kid? Because I don't. Where did they come up with this number? So $90,000 now is low-income Canadians? Well, I hope they'll remember that at tax time. Because last time I looked at the income tax I pay, the amount of tax I pay starts to multiply very quickly, long before you get to $90,000. So are we all agreeing on this now? If you make less than $90,000 a year, you're poor. Is that the deal? And by the way, if I live in Timmins and I make $89,000 a year versus I live in downtown Ottawa, am I still poor? Am I rich now? How? That's just so arbitrary to put a number on it. So arbitrary. I have a friend who owns his own business, drives three really nice cars, three beautiful luxury cars, lives in a bigger house than I do. He bragged to me a couple of years ago that after he met with his accountant, he managed to get his income down to $70,000 a year. $70,000 a year. I know this guy's worth millions, but his income is $70,000 a year. So I got to pay to fill his kids' cavities. I don't want to pay to fill his kids' cavities, but that's what his income is. So either give everybody dental coverage under 12 or don't. Right? $90,000. Somebody's making $90,000 a year and their kids get free dental care. That is absurd. And by the way, if you ever been to a dentist, up to $650 a year does not cover a lot. So if I'm a single mom and I'm making $28,000 a year, $650 is not going to help me a whole lot. But luckily, I'm the single dad who's making $89,000 a year, and that $650 will put gas in my Lexus. I just find it preposterous. I do. If you're going to bring in dental care, bring in dental care. To half measure it like this is preposterous. Families making less than $90,000 a year. And the prime, go back to clip number one. This is what our prime minister considers to be low income. I will remind him of this, I'm sure, at some other time.
And for those who don't have insurance, it often is simply not possible or means making really, really difficult choices and trade-offs on what you can afford for your kids. Many children in low-income households are not getting the dental care they need. But low-income as parents, households. We recognize
low-income households, less than $90,000 a year. Oh, those poor people who only make $85,000 a year. I weep for them. I don't think you're rich at $85,000 a year based on what it costs to buy a house these days in Ottawa. Not saying that, but come on. $80,000 a year can mean a whole lot of things to a whole lot of different families. The Morning Rush. Happy soul.
With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. This is the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. Be a part of the conversation. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from. Standard text rates may apply.
Nice energy now in the room outside of the main banquet hall at the Shaw Center, where we're getting ready to sit down and have the Christmas cheer breakfast. It starts at 8 o'clock. But I think what's happening right now is the reason 90% of the people come, the schmoozing that goes on out in the lobby, and people make connections, people you've talked to on the phone, maybe had Zoom meetings with in the past year, people getting together, exchanging phone numbers and greetings. It's kind of exciting. It is a big event on Ottawa's social calendar and kind of the unofficial, unofficial launch of the Christmas season. Dwayne Francis from Capital Wealth is back again this year. Nice to see you.
Great to be back. Good to see you, Bill.
You brought Adam Purdy with you. Who's Adam?
Good morning. It's great to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Have you been on the show before at Christmas?
No, this is my first time here. I've attended the breakfast for many years, but this is my first time with you this morning.
You look about 18 years old, so it looks like you just probably left the house for the first time.
No, a little older than that.
You've been with Capital Wealth for a while?
Yeah, just coming on 6 years now.
Wow. Okay.
Adam's our resident expert in a lot of things, Bill. So,
what are you expert in, Adam?
Well, I'm an associate portfolio manager. I'm also a licensed CIM, which is a chartered investment manager, and I'm currently working towards an additional number of designations to continue to help clients over many, many years.
It's like you're swearing at me. I have no idea.
Exactly. What does that mean?
Dwayne, what is he talking about? What's he going on about?
We're a wealth management firm, as you know, Bill, and we just help our clients, you know, increase their income, save taxes, and hopefully make the money over the long term.
So, how many calls do you get a day now with inflation? Going,
we're getting a
what
lot.
Is happening to my – right? Because now I need to make 6% just to stay even.
Just to stay even, exactly.
It's a crazy time, isn't it?
It really is. You know, coming out of COVID, it's been a challenge for most people. Now inflation, we're trying to fight it with raising rates, and now things are getting – way more expensive.
I know, when COVID first came, I was so concerned because, you know, I'm at that age now where you're running out of runway, right, to put your money away for the future. Not to talk business with you guys too much, but you're starting to run out of runway, and it's like my investments now, I need a little less risk, a little more guarantee, and it starts to really matter, and you focus in on it. And I thought, COVID is here, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
But no.
No.
All I was doing was making money, made money on my house, made money. And now, when things are returning to normal, inflation has taken it all back.
Really has. So, again, you know, I think it plays with the importance of someone like Adam and myself to help, but also in place with the importance of making sure that you have a sound plan to go forward. Because it's
well, people like us and your clients who have invested some money for the future and have money,
yes.
One of the things we can do is give back at a
absolutely.
Time like this,
exactly.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because not everyone is fortunate enough to put a little money away at the end of the month. There is no money at the end of the month.
No.
And that's why you guys, I'm sure, get involved in Christmas cheer.
We've been involved for over 25 years, both the radiothon and the breakfast. And, yeah, we do well so we can do good to help others. So it's we're grateful to be able to support so many great causes.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well,
it's Michael, my father, has been doing this for many, many years, yeah. And I'm happy to be here this morning to continue the tradition as well.
This is why I know the name Purdy.
Yes, absolutely. Michael and I worked together for 25. Michael's been doing it for 35 years. So he's
well, thank you for doing this. Yeah. And if you can do your best for the clients after after you finish breakfast, go back and see if you can find hedges against inflation, will you?
That's the goal, Bill. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Dwayne and Adam from Capital Wealth, great contributors for many years to the Christmas cheer cause. And where would we be without guys like that? Do we have Lisa around, too? Let's see if we can squeeze Lisa in. Oh, is she lurking in the background? I'm trying to get as many people in as we can because we don't want to take them away from breakfast. And we want to get them in and thank them for all they've done for this great cause over many years, and then let them sit down and enjoy their breakfast. Then we can send Katie out to look for a little bacon and eggs or something for us once we get to that. I'm just going to use a little hand sanitizer here because I notice that handshaking is back. I thought handshaking may be gone forever when COVID hit, but everyone's shaking hands. That's fine. I'm shaking hands, but I just want to wash my hands. I still got one of my kids at home with a little bit. I think it's just a cold, but I don't want to spread that, so I'm being very cognizant of it. And also stalling until Lisa Mearns from Mercedes-Benz, the Mearns Foundation, joins us. How are you?
Good, thank you. Happy to be here.
Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Good to be back, right?
Yes.
Enjoying Christmas cheer?
Yes, live. It's fantastic to see everyone here and supporting this amazing charity.
So of all the charities you must get hit up for.
Yes.
And I'm sure this isn't the only one you help.
Yes.
But what makes this one important to you?
I think it's because it's so close to my heart because it's in the community. It really makes a difference to all the people it helps. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to have a wonderful Christmas and to feed their families. I think it's just such an important charity in our community. I feel it's very close. We've been doing this for 10 years now, and it's my favorite, actually.
Is it really?
To support. It really is. It's a feel-good one, and you come here, they start off with this great breakfast, gets everybody into the Christmas spirit, and it's about giving. It's about giving back.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, you know, you'd hear people talk about Christmas is really about giving. It's not about receiving, it's about giving. And when you're a child, you don't really understand that. But there is nothing more special than the smile on somebody's face when you give them something. And the more they need it, the more special it feels to give it to them. Right?
Exactly, exactly. And especially when you're talking about, you know, the basics, like food and things like this, to have them have a happy Christmas. I mean, or a Merry Christmas. It's so important.
Yeah, and this year, more than most, with the costs of everything just kind of getting away from us, right?
Yes, yes.
Basic food items.
Yes. Oh, it's unbelievable what things cost, you know, and imagine. And there's a lot of older people out there that are going to have difficulty, too, because they're not going to be able to make ends meet. And
well,
so
yeah,
they need
on a
our
fixed
support.
Income, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
The budgets that you've developed and worked within for a few years just don't make any sense anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
We all kind of gasp, I think.
Yes.
Whether it's at the grocery store or, you know, you go out, you're lucky. I have enough money to go out to a nice dinner, you know, buy a meal for friends. They put the check down. You think, oh, my God.
I know.
That's what it costs now for dinner for four people. It's crazy.
Yes, I know. And sometimes you don't have dessert. You know, and you're like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, but we're the lucky ones that we can go out to dinner. And we're here today to help the ones who are not so fortunate. So thank you for your foundation and your great company.
Thank
you. And all
you.
The things you give. And enjoy your breakfast this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nice to see
you.
Lisa Marins, Mercedes-Benz Marins Foundation. I bet she drives a nice car. Huh? Mercedes, boy, they make beautiful vehicles. And driven a Mercedes at one time in my life. Liked it a lot. So I just love people like that. You can see the smile on her face, how happy she is to be here and help other people out. It's incredible. 7:45, it's the Morning Rush. We're live on location at the Shaw Center this morning. It's the annual Christmas cheer breakfast, and the schmoozing slowly starting to come to an end now. People wandering into the main hall, and breakfast will be served very soon. I wish you could all be here to share it, maybe next year. Morning Rush. Where the, what would you call this area, the vestibule,
it's on the third floor, which threw me for a loop because it looks like the main floor, but
you have to come up a lot of escalators to get here. But we're in the area outside the main dining hall, and it's starting to empty out now as people are going inside, because breakfast at the Christmas cheer breakfast starts at 8 o'clock, so 8 minutes from now. And did anyone mention to you you'll be hosting the final hour, because I'm going down to
perfect. All right, throw me in, coach.
Get my feed bag on. I got a lot to eat this morning.
Fill her up.
No, we're going to find out at 8 o'clock if you're as good as the guy you replaced. He was really good at coming back with a full plate of bacon, some eggs. Although we have Bunda here today. Bunda
can
take care of that.
I think he might
He's
be
a big
our,
muscular
our
guy.
Muscle man.
Can,
yeah.
We can take care of business.
Plus, people think I'm hungry. I'm a big dude. I can get some food.
You look hungry and angry. That is a good combination.
Yeah.
You're sending someone to the buffet. I assume it's a buffet, right? It usually is.
Oh, it better be.
I haven't been in there to look at it yet.
Maybe a sit down. I don't know. I looked by and there's like round tables for everybody.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they switch to sit down after COVID hit? Maybe.
No idea.
That's
going
to be tougher to steal food.
Just pretend like you know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
You can figure it out.
Act as if is what I always say.
If somebody gets up to go to the bathroom, you sit down. They serve the meal. You pick it up. Take it.
And they'll be like, "I never received food," and it's like, "Well, not
like
my problem."
Like a seat filler at the Oscars,
but
with food. Okay, so what's trending today? By the way, my wife said to me yesterday, I love Katie's trending. I know everybody loves Katie. I know.
I love Sylvie. So.
Why don't you just host the show and I can retire? Because she feels like she's really in on what's going on now. I said, well, that's sort of the point. You always were. Matt had a different point of view. That's all.
Yeah. No, and I think,
that young woman touch to it.
Exactly. And trending, you know, everybody's got a different TikTok For You page. Everybody's got a different For You on Twitter trends and everything. So it's really up to what you click on in your algorithm. So
people are telling us, though,
yeah,
that you're sometimes rude to me.
Oh, okay.
And by that, I mean they love that you stand up to my crap.
Oh, see, I don't think I stand up. I think
I think it's.
I egg you on a little bit. I think that's our shtick now. Just back and forth. You hate Christmas. I love it. You hate Michael Bublé. I love him. You know.
You know how many shows I've done here at the Shaw Center, but we're always on the other side, looking in a different direction.
Yeah.
I never realized it till now. How beautiful the view of the Parliament buildings is from here.
Right?
I've been here all morning, and I'm just seeing, probably because it was dark when we got here, but this is actually spectacular.
These windows are stunning.
This is the problem when you live in a city too long.
Yeah.
I'm just taking a moment here. This beautiful convex window overlooking, that looks like the Arts Center behind. Just to my left. And then to my right, a panorama of the Parliament buildings. And that's the Chateau Laurier on the far right. What a gorgeous view.
Behind us, City Hall, too. You can't see. We get the big CFRA
just
sign.
Just because I got the CFRA sign.
But I can see it. It looks nice.
Yeah, that's what a view. The entire kind of downtown and Parliament District. Wow.
Okay. Zamboni's on the Rink of Dreams right now.
Oh, God. Now I'm getting into the Christmas spirit. Listen to me.
Let's
now.
Let's go.
Make it stop.
See, I'm sad now that I don't have a Christmas trending for you. I really was trying to put the elves to work, to work up something to make it trending, but nothing Christmas super trending was happening today or yesterday. But what was trending and what is going on again is Jenna Ortega. She is a Netflix star from the original series Wednesday, and she's been doing a lot of things. She's been in a lot of different series. She's been in You on Netflix. She's done Jane the Virgin, a bunch of all that kind of stuff. But what I really like about her is her dedication. She's got so much dedication to all of the scenes that she does in this Wednesday series. She has said that, you know, if you look at all the scenes, she doesn't blink once, not once. And this is her explaining and, you know, how she was able to do that throughout filming of this series here. Here's clip one.
I think I got kind of annoying about it on set, to be honest, because I would have to restart a take if I started, because sometimes you start crying.
Yeah, totally.
It was Romanian winter. There was all this wind in my face. I learned to blink on other people's lines.
Yeah, and, you know.
Wow, I know that maybe sounds like a small thing if you actually dig trenches for a living or something, but it'd be hard to focus on not blinking. I always have really dry eyes. I'm a big blinker.
Yeah.
I like to blink. I need to blink.
And she said that she'd have to stop to, like, gather the tears and everything. I'm like, your makeup crew is constantly coming in there to fix up. It was her dedication, and she would stop the whole set and say, stop, stop, stop. I blanked in that last scene. Redo it, go again, which I think is great. It was dedication to the craft and wanting to keep up that Wednesday Addams vibe. But, you know, speaking of her roles and everything, she's done a lot of horror films. Ortega also feels like these kind of projects of horror series are, you know, drawing her in, keeping her in the loop. She hasn't been able to escape these. And so her favorite thing is the horror film. So she's got a clip here of her saying she doesn't know if she wants to do anything else other than horror film, but she's not limited to it. Here's clip two.
Like there's some invisible string that just kind of connects us, because they just happened. It wasn't something that I set out to do. I wasn't trying to only do horror projects, and I'm very excited about it because I love the genre.
Yeah.
Immensely.
You do?
Yeah, and they're so much fun to be on because everyone who's working on a horror set is so passionate about what they're doing. You know, it's my greatest memories, yeah, horror really? Sets.
I just love her. She's 20 years old. She is a phenomenal actress. I think she's going to be winning a lot of awards coming up. She used to be on Disney Channel, funny enough, and she's been all over the place. She was in the Disney Channel series Stuck in the Middle, which I've never heard of. Maybe your kids watch Stuck in the Middle on Disney Channel? No?
Probably at one point, but like the finance minister, no, my children moved off the Disney Channel.
Exactly, you have to, right?
Although not the Disney app, because, Christian, that's a totally different thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Lots
Let's
of programs for grown-ups.
Let's cut that Disney Plus subscription.
Yes, let's.
Gotta save that money.
That will solve the inflation problem. Right there. That and the dental plan for poor people who make $90,000 a year.
Exactly.
Sorry, I'm not over that.
No, neither am I. Neither am I.
All right, are you done?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, yeah.
You make me kind of want to watch that show. I
recommend it heavily.
I saw the promo and I thought, that kind of looks bizarrely interesting. I bet my kids will love it.
If I need to draw you in anymore, there is extreme twist. And if that's something that you love, this will grab you. This is amazing. I'm not fully done it yet, but I am hanging on the edge of my seat, ready to go home and watch it today.
Okay. And I'm going to tell you on Monday about a show I binged watch that kept me awake two nights in a row.
Oh,
now.
No.
It is one of the best written, best acted, most powerful TV series I've ever seen about kind of ordinary people having ordinary ups and downs in their lives. And it was so sad.
You're telling me. I got to be ready for the tissue box. I've
so sad. I don't even know if I can actually recommend it. It's that sad.
I'm excited. I like a tearjerker.
Oh, my God. This was heartbreaking. When I finally get over it, though, it'll probably make me feel pretty good about my life.
One of those.
And by the way, while I'm doing sad, because we just seen that show.
Yeah.
And a few people have been texting me lately. Our German Shepherd, Sammy, the rescue dog, made her way. When I arrived here, I started to tell the story of Sammy's long journey because it was the winter. She was too tall to fit in a standard crate on Air Canada. It was too cold. So we had someone drive her up, and he took pictures. And we saw Sammy's cross-country tour. Every day we'd update people. So a lot of listeners say, oh, I feel like I know Sammy from the pictures and her trip. And they want to know how she's doing. Unfortunately, yesterday we got the news that that growth on her in her lung is cancer.
Oh, no.
So it's not good news for poor Sammy, who's 9 years old. Still, you know, it's getting a little older for a German Shepherd. But so we have to figure out as a family what we're going to do about that and figure out how fast growing and stuff it is. But, yeah, so thank you for asking, poor Sammy. But, you know, you got to look on the bright side. I thought about all the people. You get this call from the vet, you know, you're driving a car. We have bad news from the biopsy. I thought, well, people get that call about their children.
Yeah.
So you got to keep life in perspective. And that's one of the things pets do. They teach you to love and to lose in a way that is not quite as devastating as the human beings in your life. Until I get older and the kids have moved out, then my dog will be everything again, and that'll be right.
Exactly. They fill that void, right?
Cycles, life cycles, the Morning Rush.
You're listening to the Morning Rush with This is the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. Share your opinion now. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from. Standard text rates may apply.
You know, with all this Christmas cheer around me, I need a like-minded person, another Grinch from Scotland to just kind of, you know, put everything back in perspective. So who better than Brian Lilly of Sun Media? Hello, Brian.
Why do you think I'm a Grinch, Bill?
Let's ever give you that idea. We're from the same part of the world. Even if we love it, we act grumpy. That's just what we do. Why do you think Mike Myers, when he did Shrek, do you know Mike Myers did the entire movie? Yeah. And then he sat and watched and he went, this doesn't work. Then he went back and re-recorded the whole thing with a Scottish accent.
And it worked.
And it worked. It's not as good a Scottish accent as an authentic one, but it's not bad. Not bad at all. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. It's, you know, end of the week, TGIF, and unfortunately, you know, Premier Ford's out later today. That means there's going to be five different things, news bombs that he's going to drop at his news conference, kind of like yesterday.
Oh, I love what he said. The LRT stunk to high heavens. It's such a Doug Ford quote, isn't it?
Well, Doug Ford speaking in his natural way just always reminds me of my grandma who moved to Canada and quickly became a hoser. And so, you know, talks like Doug Ford did. Somebody stuck in the 1970s of Etobicoke.
He is a hoser. And when you put it that way, it's so true.
I say that in the best way. But the LRT report was shocking. And you know, even though we'd heard most of the evidence, it was shocking to see it all laid out. It was good to see that somebody had called both former Mayor Watson and the senior city staff and some counselors and the consultants on what they were trying to pull, because some of us, myself, yourself, others, had been saying there's something wrong with this. And it's interesting that they specifically went after the WhatsApp group. I've submitted freedom of information request for the WhatsApp chats of Mayor Watson and the counselors and was told that none existed. And then they showed up at committee. I mean, that's how secretive they really were on this. And it was good to see everything exposed.
Yeah. The big battle I'm seeing across the province right now is, and you're writing about this today, is the pushback on the province's attempt to get more housing built. It's not going over well in some municipalities, maybe even many municipalities. I don't know, but it certainly seems to be a talking point.
Well, if you listen to a lot of what the municipalities are saying, even if you just paid attention to a lot of the media coverage, you would think that the province is forcing all of the municipalities to drop development charges altogether. You're not going to be allowed to have development charges. No, they're telling them, stop jacking them up so quickly. And guess what? When you're building affordable housing, you're not charging. What's the average here in the Toronto area? Something like $116,000. Yeah, $116,900 a unit. So you're building an affordable housing. This is not something for somebody to buy. This is low-income housing, and the municipality is going to charge $116,900 development charge on each and every unit. So if it's a building, like I'm in, a high-rise apartment building, you're going to be charging that for every single unit, and then you're going to turn around and subsidize the rent. It makes absolutely no sense. The province is forcing them to drop it for not-for-profit like that or Habitat for Humanity. I believe they're doing the same for what the premier keeps calling attainable housing. That's the type of housing that my parents were first able to get into the housing market when they came to Canada. It was simple homes, home lots. People will remember these. They built a bunch of them out in Bell's Corners, I believe, and some other parts of Ottawa, where it was a simple home built for people to buy who had a decent job but were not well off at that point. And it allowed them to get into the market. It gave them a leg up, a hand up. And so the premier is saying, you're not going to add the development charges on that. But if you're talking the you know, big single-family homes, no problem. But, you know, they've been getting out of hand. And if you read my column, Bill, one of the shocking things is that if in Ottawa, if you're building a high-rise, and they keep saying build up, not out, right? So they want everyone to live in a box in the sky like I do. They've increased it for a development charge and total municipal charge in Ottawa to $85,745 per unit. So a tiny one-bedroom condo, you're adding $85,000 in just municipal charges, and that's a 200% increase in 2 years. And the city was about to increase it by 16% again early in the new year, and the province said, no, you can't do that.
Listen, Brian, I don't understand how the Greenbelt supporters think. I really don't. And usually when I say that, I'm being facetious, you know, I'm trying to make a point. But I literally don't understand it. I never did. So you build a greenbelt around a city, and what does that do? It forces people to either live in a high-rise in an area closer to town. It forces density, which municipalities seem to make very difficult and punish developers for building. There are always so many charges and additions to it and rules and regulations about parkland space. If it's not available, you have to pay more. So they build this green belt around a city. They make it almost impossible to have higher buildings and more density. And so then people move and build houses and subdivisions on the other side of the greenbelt, which means they're driving on the highways, stuck in traffic longer, building more, fewer, polluting the air more. And a lot of the greenbelt, you look around, you know, there's a sign on the 401 that says you're now in the greenbelt, and you look around and go, nothing looks green about this. Where are the farms? I'm not seeing the farms. The whole thing confuses me and always did. I think it's a bunch of BS. I think it was Dalton McGuinty's government brought it in. It makes no sense at all. We have plenty of farmland around Ontario, but if you're going to restrict growth out into the suburbs, then make it easy to intensify in downtown areas. It's just so frustrating.
There's a solid argument for ensuring that we still have farmland. But I agree with you on the green belt, and Ottawa is a prime example of how green belts don't work. We would not have massive developments like Riverside South, Barrhaven, Kanata, Stittsville, or Orleans if the green belt wasn't there. And Ottawa is not the only example of a green belt. I've looked at studies of the green belts in London, in Seoul, Korea, in Frankfurt, Germany, and academic studies point to the fact that it doesn't lead to the increase in density, and it doesn't stop people from driving till they can afford a house, which is what they do. And so the fight over the green belt down here right now, and you're right, McGinty brought it in. He should have known better based on the experience in Ottawa. But the fight over the green belt down here is crazy because I've looked through the media archives. You know, we have access to great archives. There was no outrage when Kathleen Wynne allowed 17 different incursions into the green belt for golf courses, for a Lowe's big box hardware store in Burlington, for McMansions up in Vaughan, where they've all got pools and some of them have tennis courts. But they allowed land to be taken out of the green belt for that. What the government's doing here is in most cases saying it's got to be a specific type of home. They're not doing just wide open sprawl. They are trying to get density, which means more townhouses, duplexes, things like that. And it's being fought tooth and nail by people who sat silently. I'm looking at you, Margaret Atwood and David Suzuki, when Kathleen Wynne was doing it. I mean, that tells me it's about partisan politics. It's not about actually caring about the environment in the green belt. And by the way, David Suzuki, Margaret Atwood, these are people with multiple homes who love the jet set life. They just don't want you and I to have it.
See, I knew you would take the spirit out of Christmas with your reality check, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great weekend, Brian.
You too, Bill.
Brian Lilly of Sun Media, The Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.
$1,000 Minute, brought to you by Alpine Credits. Homeowners get approved.
All right, Katie, who is our player this morning?
We got Mark in Barrhaven.
Hello, Mark. How you doing?
How's it going?
Not too bad. We have to get to it pretty quickly here, so just say pass if you don't know the answer, and if there's time, we'll go back, okay?
Sounds good.
Question number one, what is a she shed?
A she shed.
Yeah.
Pass.
Adam Driver stars in which movie currently in theaters?
I'm going to have to pass that one, too.
Which Broadway musical did Richard Krause see over three times?
Richard Krause. Pass.
How old is Jenna Ortega?
Jenna Ortega. Young. 19, 20? 20 years old? 20 years
what
old.
What type of extract may cause liver damage?
Alcohol.
Who is the lead actor in The Inspection?
I don't know. Pass.
Wow, those questions suddenly seemed hard. I guess yeah. If you missed Richard on earlier, you were pretty much done there. Katie threw a curveball at you. Okay, how do you do, Katie?
All right, Mark, we'll go through the questions that we got here. Question number one, what did today's Make-A-Wish child ask for? And what is a she shed? The answer is she shed.
Katie, Adam,
yep.
Here's what happened there. I got to explain.
Sorry.
We're not heavily into the morning champagne here.
Not
yet, at
least.
We wanted to change the question, but the updated version, I said, did it arrive at 8:15? And you said yes, but that's not true.
That is not true. Two different answers.
So then. I thought what is a she shed was too difficult a question. It's what our Make-A-Wish child wanted, and I knew it would be too hard to explain. It's a nook or outdoor shed. Give them the $10.
Perfect. Question number one. You got it there.
Yay.
All right. Question number two. Adam Driver stars in what movie currently in theaters? You pass. The answer is White Noise.
White Noise.
What Broadway musical did Richard Krause see over three times? You pass. The answer is Cabaret.
Oh, my God. Who does that? Last night, all the friends we know
from out the coast, a happy holiday. This is The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. Share your opinion now. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from. Standard text rates may apply.
You know, with all this Christmas cheer around me, I need a like-minded person, another Grinch from Scotland to just kind of, you know, put everything back in perspective. So who better than Brian Lilly of Sun Media? Hello, Brian.
Why do you think I'm a Grinch, Bill?
Let's ever give you that idea. We're from the same part of the world. Even if we love it, we act grumpy. That's just what we do. Why do you think Mike Myers, when he did Shrek, do you know Mike Myers did the entire movie? And then he sat and watched. And he went, this doesn't work. Then he went back and re-recorded the whole thing with a Scottish accent.
And it worked.
And it worked. It's not as good a Scottish accent as an authentic one, but it's not bad. Not bad at all. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. It's, end of the week, TGIF, and unfortunately, Premier Ford's out later today. That means there's going to be five different things, news bombs that he's going to drop at his news conference, kind of like yesterday.
Oh, I love what he said. The LRT stunk to high heavens. It's such a Doug Ford quote, isn't it?
Well, Doug Ford speaking in his natural way just always reminds me of my grandma, who moved to Canada and quickly became a hoser. And so, talks like Doug Ford did. Somebody stuck in the 1970s of Etobicoke.
He is a hoser. And when you put it that way, it's so true.
I say that in the best way. But the LRT report was shocking. And even though we'd heard most of the evidence, it was shocking to see it all laid out. It was good to see that somebody had called both former Mayor Watson and the senior city staff and some counselors and the consultants on what they were trying to pull, because some of us, myself, yourself, others, had been saying there's something wrong with this. And it's interesting that they specifically went after the WhatsApp group. I've submitted Freedom of Information request for the WhatsApp chats of Mayor Watson and the counselors and was told that none existed. And then they showed up at committee. I mean, that's how secretive they really were on this. And it was good to see everything exposed.
Yeah, the big battle I'm seeing across the province right now is, and you're writing about this today, is the pushback on the province's attempt to get more housing built. It's not going over well in some municipalities, maybe even many municipalities, I don't know, but it certainly seems to be a talking point.
Well, if you listen to a lot of what the municipalities are saying, even if you just paid attention to a lot of the media coverage, you would think that the province is forcing all of the municipalities to drop development charges altogether. You're not going to be allowed to have development charges. No, they're telling them, stop jacking them up so quickly. And guess what? When you're building affordable housing, you're not charging, what's the average here in the Toronto area? Something like $116,900 a unit. So you're building an affordable housing. This is not something for somebody to buy. This is low-income housing, and the municipality is going to charge $116,900 development charge on each and every unit. So if it's a building, like I'm in, a high-rise apartment building, you're going to be charging that for every single unit, and then you're going to turn around and subsidize the rent. It makes absolutely no sense. The province is forcing them to drop it for not-for-profit like that or Habitat for Humanity. I believe they're doing the same for what the premier keeps calling attainable housing. That's the type of housing that my parents were first able to get into the housing market when they came to Canada. It was simple homes, home lots. People will remember these. They built a bunch of them out in Bell's Corners, I believe, and some other parts of Ottawa, where it was a simple home built for people to buy who had a decent job but were not well off at that point. And it allowed them to get into the market. It gave them a leg up, a hand up. And so the premier is saying, you're not going to add the development charges on that. But if you're talking the big single family homes, no problem. But, they've been getting out of hand. And if you read my column, Bill, one of the shocking things is that if in Ottawa, if you're building a high rise, and they keep saying build up, not out, right? So they want everyone to live in a box in the sky like I do. They've increased it for a development charge and total municipal charge in Ottawa to $85,745 per unit. So a tiny one-bedroom condo, you're adding $85,000 in just municipal charges, and that's a 200% increase in 2 years. And the city was about to increase it by 16% again early in the new year, and the province said, no, you can't do that.
Listen, Brian, I don't understand how the Green Belt supporters think. I really don't. And usually when I say that, I'm being facetious, you know, I'm trying to make a point. But I literally don't understand it. I never did. So you build a Green Belt around a city. And what does that do? It forces people to either live in a high-rise in an area closer to town. It forces density, which municipalities seem to make very difficult and punish developers for building. There are always so many charges and additions to it and rules and regulations about parkland space. If it's not available, you have to pay more. So they build this green belt around a city. They make it almost impossible to have higher buildings and more density. And so then people move and build houses and subdivisions on the other side of the greenbelt, which means they're driving on the highways, stuck in traffic longer, building more, fewer, polluting the air more. And a lot of the greenbelt, you look around, you know, there's a sign on the 401 that says you're now in the greenbelt, and you look around and you go, nothing looks green about this. Where are the farms? I'm not seeing the farms. The whole thing confuses me and always did. I think it's a bunch of BS. I think it was Dalton McGuinty's government brought it in. It makes no sense at all. We have plenty of farmland around Ontario, but if you're going to restrict growth out into the suburbs, then make it easy to intensify in downtown areas. It's just so frustrating.
There's a solid argument for ensuring that we still have farmland. But I agree with you on the green belt, and Ottawa is a prime example of how green belts don't work. We would not have massive developments like Riverside South, Barrhaven, Kanata, Stittsville, or Orleans if the green belt wasn't there. And Ottawa is not the only example of a green belt. I've looked at studies of the green belts in London, in Seoul, Korea, in Frankfurt, Germany, and academic studies point to the fact that it doesn't lead to the increase in density, and it doesn't stop people from driving till they can afford a house, which is what they do. And so the fight over the green belt down here right now, and you're right, McGuinty brought it in. He should have known better based on the experience in Ottawa. But the fight over the green belt down here is crazy, because I've looked through the media archives. You know, we have access to great archives. There was no outrage when Kathleen Wynne allowed 17 different incursions into the green belt for golf courses, for a Lowe's big box hardware store in Burlington, for McMansions up in Vaughan, where they've all got pools and some of them have tennis courts, but they allowed land to be taken out of the greenbelt for that. What the government's doing here is, in most cases, saying it's got to be a specific type of home. They're not doing just wide open sprawl. They are trying to get density, which means more townhouses, duplexes, things like that. And it's being fought tooth and nail by people who sat silently. I'm looking at you, Margaret Atwood and David Suzuki, when Kathleen Wynne was doing it. And I mean, that tells me it's about partisan politics. It's not about actually caring about the environment in the Greenbelt. And by the way, David Suzuki, Margaret Atwood, these are people with multiple homes who love the jet set life. They just don't want you and I to have it.
See, I knew you would take the spirit out of Christmas with your reality check, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great weekend, Brian.
You too, Bill.
Brian Lilly of Sun Media, The Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.
Now, The Inbox.
All right, last word goes to you as we wrap it up here at 8:56. Anybody doing the speed limit of 50 kilometers an hour is not rolling over multiple times on Fisher. What is Jeff from Riverside talking about? Hope there are serious charges for drivers. That the accident we're talking about this morning? Must be, right? Just happy to hear all the injuries are non-life-threatening. The driving in Ottawa has just gotten crazier and crazier. Something needs to change. And can you imagine if downtown was actually reopened for business? I don't know where all these cars are coming from and going when you're coming downtown. Where? I thought everyone was working from home for the federal government. Good morning, Bill. I'm so sorry about Sammy. Saw your family photos on Facebook, and she looks so sweet. Dogs are wonderful. They'll only break your heart one time. I'm sorry for your family. Leanne, thank you. Oh, yesterday's $1,000 minute winner. Well, congratulations again. Bill, sorry to hear about Sammy. Yeah, if you're just tuning in. Our rescue pet we brought from Los Angeles, who made that trip from coast to coast and took pictures. Turns out she was much more of a baseball fan than I knew. That might have been the guy driving her, but I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah, poor Sammy has lung cancer. I get by on $10K a year. I can't even imagine having 10 times that and be broke or struggling. Credit debt? Maybe don't use what you have to leverage more debt, such as using home equity. Just can't understand how a person making $100,000 a year is struggling unless they've been irresponsible, leveraged too much debt. Can't fathom it. Well, you have to make under $90,000 to be considered poor in Canada now. That's when you get the new dental care. $90,000. Where'd they get that number? Bill, my brother makes $80K and is a single father. He's lucky if he's at $100 in his pocket at the end of the month. Single parents cannot afford dental care for their kids. Food, utilities, and gas have skyrocketed. $90K for dental makes sense. Amanda in West Carleton. I don't agree with you. I think that's still a pretty high number, $90K a year. I do. But like I said, it depends on a lot of things. Where do you live? How many kids do you have? That's the problem with setting this arbitrary bar at $90,000 for somebody. That's a lot of money. For somebody, it's a lot less. My main point is this. If under 90 is now low income, the government should tax everyone making $90,000 a year at the lowest tax level. And they don't. Bill, a she shed for men is called the doghouse. Tanya Brown in Russell, Ontario. Very true. So at age 12, you stop getting dental care. It becomes less essential when you're 12. Yeah, it's another arbitrary number, right? It's at this age, dental becomes so unaffordable. Braces, teeth extractions, etc. Trudeau is out of touch with the average Canadian. No concept. Bill, I really need to hear you. Bill, what I really need to hear is the budget will balance itself. That will be reassuring. Peter in Ottawa. Peter, don't worry. The budget will balance itself. Thank you, Steve Bunda, for coming down to help us out today. Katie Colbert, thank you. PJ, for being back at the station, not getting this great food. I'll bring a doggy bag for you.
Thank you. I'm pretty hungry.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. But have a nice weekend anyway. This has been The Morning Rush. Good morning.
You're listening to The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll. Remember, you can stream us anytime.